This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. The Roebling Suspension Bridge is set to close completely to vehicular traffic for the next 9 months or more, part of a long-awaited restoration project after heavy chunks of sandstone fell from the historic structure back in 2019. But the bridge's closure is expected to hit hard some nearby Covington businesses dependent on that traffic and already hammered by the pandemic. We'll hear from some business owners just ahead. But first, I spoke earlier with Kentucky Transportation Cabinet District 6 Office spokesperson Nancy Wood about the project. Here's our pre-recorded interview. Joining us now is Nancy Wood. She's the Public Information Officer at the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet District 6 Office in Northern Kentucky. Nancy, thanks for talking to us.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure to have you. So this sounds like a pretty significant project with the Roebling Suspension Bridge being closed for so many months, three quarters of a year. What exactly is happening?
We are starting a restoration project on this historic bridge. And it's just not like any other bridges, since this has a historic value of being 154 years old. We have to use measures to get it back in its integrity, more or less, like it was built 154 years ago. So this project is kind of intense on that with this restoration, because we're replacing some of the stonework, the walkways, and part of the bridge deck. So it's going to take some time. I keep saying we're doing some TLC care for this beautiful landmark that we have in our region. So it takes a while to get it set up. We won't be able to have the bridge open to traffic because of the measures that we need to do this project.
So to be clear, this is closing to vehicular traffic, but you expect there to be some pedestrian access.
We are keeping a pedestrian walkway open because we know that that bridge is used extensively for walkers, riders, people going back and forth between Covington, Cincinnati, and the businesses there. So the walkway is vital, and we knew that. So we're keeping at least a walkway open during this project.
We have learned about the importance of this bridge pretty significantly in recent years. I think it was in 2018 where many of us for the first time learned the term bootleg cab, when one of those unauthorized transportation services crashed into the bridge, shutting it down for several days. And then in 19, we had some of that stonework collapse on the bridge, and we had to close it for a while. And now we've got this upcoming closure. What can you tell us about the usage of the bridge as it relates to vehicular traffic between Covington and Cincinnati?
Well, there's about 8,100 cars that use that bridge daily in a 24-hour period. I'm not even sure of the estimate of pedestrians and cyclists who use it. But it's, I mean, just to think that this bridge was built 154 years ago, before cars. It was, you know, just for horses and carriage and foot usage. And for it to still be useful today is just amazing at the integrity of this structure. So we want to keep it going for generations to come. That's why we're taking the measures to completely close it, so that everything can be addressed as needed, especially with the falling stone over that started in 2019 when some of the sandstone started falling from the towers. So as a safety precaution, we had to make a closure there until we remedied a place or remedied a thing to the safety netting, put a plan in place so that we can open that bridge back up. So that safety netting's been there for over a year and a half, and we've been working on this project for about that long because we have to have a lot of boxes checked with the state preservation officer as well as historians to make sure that we're keeping that integrity of this bridge.
We've seen that netting obviously since it went up following the first time that we saw the sandstone start to fall. What kind of work has been going on between then and now? I guess the question is, why is this project just starting now after we put that netting up so long ago?
Well, we had to work with, like I said, the state and local historic preservation experts to make sure that we were maintaining the bridge national landmark status. So we had to get approval off of everything that was needed for this bridge. We're actually getting the Buena Vista sandstone from the same area, region of Ohio, that the stone was gathered back 150 plus years ago. So the stone is coming from that same region. They'll be removing bad stone. When we were doing this safety precaution back in 2019, we removed almost 200 pounds of loose stone from that tower. So it'll have to be replaced with this Buena Vista sandstone. It just took that much time to make sure that we were doing everything correctly and to keep that national landmark status.
We're talking with Nancy Wood, the public information officer at the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet District 6 office in Northern Kentucky. Our conversation today is about the closure of the Roebling Suspension Bridge to vehicular traffic for a 9 or 10 month long restoration project. Nancy, we recently saw the bridge's significance, its importance in our region, when another bridge across the Ohio River between Covington and Cincinnati was also closed. That would be the Brent Spence Bridge, of course, following a fiery crash involving two semi-trucks there. It was closed for many weeks, and so a lot of people turned to the Roebling Bridge, including some trucks, before a stop was put to that on both sides of the river. Did we see any additional damage incurred on that bridge as I imagine the volume of traffic turning to it went up significantly?
No, luckily there wasn't any damage. After Blink a few years ago, we checked the status of the bridge after a lot of foot traffic had hit the bridge. But that bridge is strong and sturdy. And luckily, the oversized trucks that used it did not create any impacts to it.
What about the nearby businesses? We know that the priority is to salvage this bridge, to restore this bridge, and to make it as strong as possible while also preserving its national historic significance. I'm wondering what role the Transportation Cabinet plays in trying to keep the business community calm. They've dealt with a lot, particularly in that what is called the Roebling Point Entertainment District at the south end of that bridge in Covington. I know a lot of business owners, and we'll be speaking to some coming up, are quite concerned about seeing another disruption, particularly in the shadow of this ongoing COVID-19 pandemic that has also had a very significant impact on businesses.
Well, we truly understand the impacts that the businesses are facing. We do have a detour in place, and luckily there's some other crossings nearby that motorists can use to go back and forth. And that is one of the reasons why we were definitely keeping the pedestrian walkway open. We will make sure that our signage is in place, that it will impede businesses, that we will not disrupt businesses any more than they're already disrupted. So, you know, we're there to work with them and to help them, but we also need to, this is why everybody comes to Covington a lot of times, is to see this beautiful landmark. So we want to get that back so that everybody can enjoy it. And that includes people who live there and have businesses.
Yeah, I think the Roebling Bridge is probably, I don't have any data, I'm just speculating, but I imagine it's one of our most photographed landmarks in Covington or Cincinnati. And I know that we've had to take photos of it over the past 18 months or so with that netting that's up, and it's not an ideal visual. What will this bridge look like? Will there be any significant change to its appearance following this months-long restoration project?
Probably people won't really notice because we're trying to put it back in its natural state. A lot of work is going to be happening over there in Smail Park at the anchorage. There in the parkway area, a lot of work will be taking place on the top of the towers, replacing some of the sandstone that has been falling. You know, you wouldn't be able to really see it from the, an, you know, eyes length from that, unless you have photo lenses. They're also going to take care of sealing the top deck so we don't have any more of the water issues that will deteriorate the stone. The main thing that people will probably see is that we'll be working on the pedestrian walkways. Those will be improved, as well as some of the decking on the bridge. Overall, people might not notice it, but they will notice that that safety netting will be coming down, and we'll have that beautiful bridge back in place for future generations.
And as far as the contractors who are coming in to do this work, were there any specialized qualifications? You've referenced, you know, the age of the bridge and how old that sandstone is, and how you had to go through state and local historic preservation offices in order to ensure you were maintaining its historic significance and the integrity of that. Any type of specialized work involved in restoring that aspect of this bridge?
Yes, the contractor is Lithgow Restoration, so they have the power and knowing of what to do. There's going to be some specialized specialized techniques such as Dutchman repairs, masonry patching, repointing, replacing the stones. So they are very knowledgeable on how to do these techniques and to get that bridge back to its natural state.
Nancy Wood is the Public Information Officer at the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet District 6 office in Northern Kentucky. Nancy, thank you so much for the time you gave us.
Thank you, and we appreciate everybody's patience through this project for the upcoming year, but it's our prized possession, and we're looking forward to giving it the tender, loving care that bridge needs.
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. The restoration of the Roebling Bridge is needed, most agree, but the timing could be better for the city of Covington and some of its businesses. I spoke earlier with the city manager and two business owners concerned about the impact of the historic span's closure. Here is our pre-recorded interview. Joining us now is Covington City Manager David Johnston. David, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Michael. Good morning.
We also have Richard Hunt, the owner of Roebling Point Books and Coffee. Richard, welcome to Cincinnati Edition.
Hello, Michael. Good to be here.
And Julia Keister, the owner of Lil's Bagels. Julia, thank you for being with us.
Hi, thanks for having us.
David, let's start with you. I know that the city of Covington has been quite generous as it can be during this pandemic as it relates to assisting businesses that have been hit by the economic ramifications of the pandemic. But this is different because we still have the pandemic raging and those economic impacts. And now this bridge is closing. Just share your thoughts as the top administrator in the city about how you feel about the situation.
Well, I think in this situation, I think we were all blindsided with the timing of the announcement. We get it on a Thursday before the Monday when the one lane restriction goes into effect, and then saying it's going to be closed through November. That's on top of the terrible economic effects due to the limitations COVID had put on many, many of our small businesses, particularly the ones that are restaurants and bars. And then we have the Brent Spence Bridge fire and all that. It's just how many punches can we have without people paying attention about the impacts of their decisions?
I wanted to bring that up because we did experience in Covington the closure of the Brent Spence Bridge in a way the other parts of the region did not. You dealt with a lot of the rerouted traffic, people desperately looking for another way to get to Cincinnati. In fact, the Roebling Bridge became the target of some of those heavy trucks, and then some extra precautions had to be taken to prevent that. Tell us a little bit about how the city has dealt with all of these punches, as you described it.
Well, you know, we always try to approach these things in a balanced effect. And when it came time to deal with the overweight traffic going over the Brent Spence Bridge, our police department had no other recourse but to shut it down to help send a message to the trucking community and actually to the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet. You can't have truck traffic on a state route that you have weight limitations on. So we had to take matters in our own hands to do that. So, you know, we try to do that. We've also been very generous in seeing what state and federal and local monies we had to help our small businesses with special grants and mortgage and rent reduction. We're not like the federal government where we can print money at a moment's notice to meet public policy, but I think we've tried to be very generous to our community's businesses to help mitigate the impact they're feeling. They're an important part of our fabric. They provide the atmosphere people enjoy, but you know, when they're faced with economic uncertainty, we kind of feel the pain. And sometimes we feel we like to do more, but we can't.
That's David Johnston, Covington City Manager. We're also joined by a couple of business owners in what is colloquially known as the Roebling Point Entertainment District. Richard Hunt owns Roebling Point Books and Coffee, and Julia Kieser owns Lil's Bagels. Julia, when the Brinsmans Bridge was closed, and a lot more vehicles, even more than usual, were pursuing opportunities to cross the river via the Roebling Suspension Bridge, did you see an uptick in business at all?
You know, it's really hard to say just because this year has been the most unpredictable. But it definitely, the Brent Spence closing was not, did not harm us in the way that the Roebling Bridge closing in past years has decreased business.
Well, before we talk about the direct impact of the closure of that bridge, just tell us how your business has held up during the pandemic.
Yes. I mean, probably like every other small business out there, we've had to adapt and pivot. You know, we really closed things down after just opening in February. We were open for a month and then shut things back down to just our walk-up window. But luckily, we have such an amazing team and such a supportive community that has kept us alive and afloat. And we have just kind of cruised as much as we can through this, you know, really uncertain time.
We've had to deal with some closures of this bridge in the past. We all learned the term bootleg cab, those of us at least who didn't know it before, back in 2018 when one of those unauthorized transportation vehicles crashed into it and shut it down for a few days. And then, of course, in 2019, some stone fell, and that's what we're going to be repairing in the upcoming months. That happened in 2019, closing the bridge for a while. What happens to Roebling Point and businesses like Lil's Bagels and Roebling Point Books and Coffee when that bridge is shut down, Julia?
You know, it's just more inconvenient to come get your coffee, your bagel, your book, your, you know, chicken wings, whatever it is, at Roebling Point. And people love convenience, especially in the morning. I know I like to sleep an extra 5 minutes or whatever I can get. So anything that adds on to that time or inconvenience really affects all the small businesses down here.
And we should note, just for geographical purposes and reference, that these two businesses that we're discussing today are right on Greenup Street in Covington, which is the northbound one-way street that leads directly to the Roebling Bridge. So a lot of people from the Kentucky side of the river headed into Cincinnati or later in the day on the way back on Scott Boulevard are directly crossing the bridge in front of or right near these businesses. Richard Hunt owns a bookstore and coffee shop called Roebling Point Books and Coffee. Richard, your business is unique anyway, because it's a bookstore in an age where we don't see as many of those as we used to. So it's already a challenging enterprise. So talk a little bit about how you've maintained the business as best you can on top of those odds coupled with the pandemic.
Well, I mean, certainly it tests us. And what we did after we closed for a couple weeks and truly just sanitized everything from painting ceiling and walls and power washing all the equipment out back in the parking lot and bringing it all together was we created the walk-up window like many people do. We were delivering books, whether it be by car or by bike. I'm happy to do that. And then we sold through a group called bookshop.org, which is probably Amazon's biggest competitor. But the difference there is if you order through bookshop.org and then reference Roebling Point Books, we get a percentage of the sale and they handle the shipping and fulfillment and collection. So putting all those things together, and I would have to say, like Julia, the community really rallied. And this, I don't think this forthcoming one is at all on the city. It seems to be kind of communication from the Commonwealth, and it's just the timing, you know, it's sort of a 1-2 punch over 2 years. And I feel we've had customers with some small gallows humor who say, you know, shouldn't you take this as a sign? And I think we're going to take it as a test. And I think everybody here is going to support each other and do it, and the city's supporting us, but it's just, it couldn't be worse timing, you know, in short. But people have a little more time to read if they're at home, and we're trying to respond and support that.
You mentioned gallows humor, and I don't mean to try to be funny, but even there at Roebling Point, I think there's a Kentucky Historic Marker referencing the gallows in your neighborhood. It was like the last public hanging or something in the city of Covington.
So if you hear the hammer swinging and we're rebuilding it, then you know things have gone bad.
Well, I'm glad you've kept a sense of humor about it, Richard, certainly. And you are listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We're talking about the closure of the Roebling Bridge. It should take 9, maybe 10 months to do this restoration project, and it is expected to significantly impact some of the businesses in Covington's Roebling Point Business District. We're joined by Covington City Manager David Johnston and business owners Richard Hunt of Roebling Point Books and Coffee and Julia Keister of Lil's Bagels. David, talk a little bit about the relationship between the city and the Kentucky Transportation Office at the state level and the local office there, and what type of conversations were had related to the timing of this project, which I think most people agree is needed. But in the wake of this devastating pandemic, was there any conversation about possible delay?
There was no discussion between the city and the transportation cabinet about the timing of this announcement. We found out on the Thursday before the Monday restrictions went into play, and we were caught flat-footed. I think the environment that the transportation cabinet had is that they were fresh off responding to the Brent Spence emergency, and they had the all hands on deck to attack that. But at the same time, part of their organization is looking into the future on other projects like the restoration of the Roebling Bridge. I think just things fell through the cracks because of that situation, and they forgot about making sure that there's adequate public announcements well before the start date. So we really didn't have much to go before the announcement. So we were kind of shocked with that.
Well, what's the communication been like since, David? I know that the state has talked about extra signage, perhaps wayfinding. Is that something that the city is participating in?
Yes, we are working very well with them since the announcement's been made to try to make sure that there is still adequate pedestrian access. That was one thing that we pushed very early on, and the state transportation folks agreed to keep the one pedestrian avenue, the one on the east side of the bridge, open to connect both sides of the river. So we felt that they heard us on that. Of course, then they keep saying that, you know, we need to have the closure to do the fixtures. And so it's one of those things. I think we all understood what needed to be done. It's just the timing was not adequately discussed or presented in a way that met all our needs.
And David Johnston is the city manager of Covington. And in our final minute together, David, I just want to ask, you moved to Northern Kentucky to take this job as city manager in Covington. So there's a certain amount of learning one has to do when they arrive in a new city. I know that you've done a lot of learning about the city. You've been at the helm for about 4 years now. Is there anything you've learned about your new home city in the wake of the pandemic, the Brent Spence Bridge closure, and the way the response is building so far to the closure of the Roebling Bridge?
Well, I think all of us have talked about one of the biggest benefits Covington has, and that is the strong community spirit and trying to help each other out and in tough times. So when tough times arise, people respond. Now, that's not so in a lot of communities, and talking with my colleagues around the country. So this is a special value that is here, and it's nice to have. You don't have to worry about that. So that takes a load off a lot of the city when people will help each other out. I guess the other thing is how dependent the city, particularly the north end, is to the bridge system across the river. I think everybody would like to think that Covington can survive on its own, but we're part of a bigger dynamic, the metro area, and we rely on the Cincinnati side of the river traffic, as well as they rely on the Covington side for their businesses. So when a bridge closes or has the Brent Spence crises occur, it has an effect on us, and we have to deal with it as best we can. So we do have a dependence on the transportation infrastructure, and it takes things like this to remind us on that dependence.
David Johnston is the city manager in the city of Covington. Richard Hunt owns Roebling Point Books and Coffee, and Julia Keister operates Lil's Bagels. David, Richard, Julia, thanks for coming on today. Richard and Julia, good luck to you. We'll talk again soon, I hope.
Thanks. Michael, can we say one thing to your readers, listeners?
You sure can.
Well, we'd love to be able to see you. We'd love to be able to serve you. Come on down.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Our technical director is Josh Elstrow. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.